Turn over to John, chapter 14. We've taken a look at the works that Jesus did, at a really good sampling of them. And what we did this morning was take really somewhat of a brief look at how Jesus did those works. But Jesus did go on to say that the works He has done, we can do also. So now what we want to find out is, what does it take for us to be able to do those same works? And really, by this point in this series, there have been enough hints thrown out. You probably already know, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. We're going to look at it. In John chapter 14, begin in verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If not, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Now let's just read what Jesus said, just the red letters. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. If I have been so a long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And we'll stop right there. Now let's go back to verse 1 and begin working through this, because understanding verses 1, 2, 3, and 12 is key for us to get a greater understanding of doing these works that we've seen Jesus do. Now Jesus, again, He said we could do these works. And I just have this tendency to believe everything Jesus said. So if Jesus said I can do these works, I can do them. But the thing is, it's true for you too. It's just almost mind-boggling to us to begin to believe or to accept that the second person of Godhead, what I read about in this book, that He did, I can do the same thing. To our carnal way of thinking, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Because, after all, He is Jesus. Well, see, we talked about that somewhat this morning. How that, and before in this series, how that we can take Jesus and make more out of who He is and who He was here in Scripture than what was intended. And we can do it to the point that we actually create a separation between Him and us, so that we develop a mindset. We know we can't do these things, even though that's what it says in here. And we build this wall of division between ourselves and Jesus, and we keep Him on the miracle side, on the works side. But then we keep ourselves over here. And when we keep ourselves over here, and that wall is built in between us, then suddenly we're not able to do what Jesus said, because we're the ones that have created this division, not Him. Jesus isn't the one that did this. It's us. Jesus is trying to tear down that wall of division because of the fact He said, "The work that I do, you shall do also." Praise God. Did any of that record?
Yeah.
All right, so what Jesus is trying to get across to us is the fact that when he said we can do these works, we can do them. Now, you may have the worst self-image in the world, and I can tell you now that that's only a ploy of the devil to keep you from being over there doing those works. You know, it doesn't matter. How many of you know that we really don't know for sure what Jesus looked like? I mean, some of these Jesus movies, they have these guys that look drugged out playing Jesus. You know, they got this glazed look over their face. It's like they're always talking into the air, you know. We get so hung up on looking at us that we forget to look at Him. Are you with me? And so we look at what we can't do while He's on the other side telling us what you can do. And Jesus has said here, the works that I do, you shall do also. Back up in verse 1. Verses 1, 2, and 3, as you well know, are really good verses for funerals and sermons about heaven. Because He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we preach this at funerals to make everybody feel good. That, you know, dear departed grandma's now in heaven with Jesus. And that we have heaven to look forward to. And that Jesus has gone up there. And they give us this image of, I don't know, like Jesus wearing some kind of a, you know, heavenly hard hat, you know, with his hammer and nail up there, and he's building these mansions. He's got some angels, you know, hand me a 2x4 there, Gabriel. You know? After all, didn't he say he'd go build you a mansion? And then we stand up and we sing, you know, I've got a mansion just over the, right? I was looking at some songs this afternoon, some songs that I've sung in the past. And, you know, they talk about that, you know. In fact, one song, I like it, says, I'm getting ready to leave this world to prepare a place for you. You know, Jesus said, you know, He's gone to prepare that mansion. And so we go on, and it sounds really good. But He's not talking about heaven in this. I know it just messed up a whole lot of sermons. But He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about something else. Now look in this. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in Me. In My Father's house. Now where He says house, that word house comes from a Greek word that means place of domain or kingdom. And then He goes on to say, in My Father's place of domain, or better put, in My Father's kingdom, are many mansions. Well, when we hear the word mansion, we think of pictures from Hollywood and 10,000 square foot houses and these big monster places. Jesus wasn't talking about a building. This word mansion comes from a Greek word that means dwelling place of rest. And He says, if not, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, this word place, that's not a bad word in here as far as interpretation is concerned. But if it helps to clarify it, think of the word position. Not place as in a location, as in a physical location, as in where did you place the can opener when you were done with it? Well, I placed it on the kitchen counter. The kitchen counter becomes the place. Don't think of it as far as a geographical location, but a position. And so He says in verse 2, in My Father's kingdom are many dwelling places of rest. If not, I would have told you, I go to prepare a position for you. A position where? A position in the Father's kingdom where there is a dwelling place of rest. This is what He's talking about. And if I go and prepare this position of rest in my Father's kingdom, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Now Jesus says, in my Father's kingdom are many dwelling places of rest. Or in my Father's kingdom is a dwelling place of rest. And I'm going to prepare a position in that kingdom for you. I'm going to go and do something. And the result of the something I do is going to be that you are going to have a position in the kingdom of the Father. A place, a dwelling place. You are going to be able to take up residence in the kingdom of the Father and have a dwelling place in that kingdom because of what I'm going to do for you. And in verse 3 he says, and if I do this, if I go and do the work, perform whatever work is necessary to prepare this position for you in the kingdom of the Father, then I want you to know that I will come again. And when I come again, I'll receive you unto myself, so that where I am, ye may be also. Now when we've taught this, where I am, ye may be also, we're thinking in terms of Jesus being up in heaven, the sound of the last trump, and Jesus coming back down from heaven to gather up all of those, you know, the dead in Christ shall rise, those who remain will be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. And we think in terms of Jesus being in heaven, and He's prepared this mansion for us up in heaven, and that what He's saying here is, look, if I'm going to go to heaven and build you a mansion, then I promise you I'll come back from heaven, I'll gather you up to be with me and take you back to heaven with me so that together we can live in heaven forever. That doesn't even fit with the book of Revelation. Go back and read the book of Revelation and find out where we're going to be forever. I'll just leave that up to you to go do it because we're not preaching on that tonight. Go back there and read that. Well, Jesus says, listen. Now remember, when Jesus was preaching, He said, until John, you had the law and the prophets, but since that time, the kingdom of God is being preached. And now here He's saying, look, guys, in the Father's kingdom, there's a whole lot of space. If it weren't true, I would have told you. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to see to it that a position is prepared for you in the kingdom of the Father. And after I have completed whatever work is necessary so that this position is waiting for you, I'll come back and receive you unto myself. And after I have received you unto myself, you then are going to have that position in the kingdom of the Father. Well, what was the work that He was going to go do? Well, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, then I'll come again. What He's talking about is His crucifixion and His resurrection. Because He tells you down here in verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Or another way to put that is, nobody is going to be able to enter into the kingdom of the Father unless they come through me. And He says, right now, that's impossible. Because I haven't gone and done the work necessary for you to be able to enter into the kingdom of the Father. But what I'm going to do here very shortly, in just a few short hours, I am going to go and I'm going to prepare this way. I'm going to prepare an entrance for you into the kingdom of the Father. And when I've completed that work, when I have finished what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to come back to you and I'm going to receive you unto myself. And when I receive you unto myself, you come through me and you enter into the kingdom.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He was saying, I'm going to go and hang on a cross for you. I'm going to go and shed my blood for you. I am going to go and I'm going to die for you. Then I am going to descend into that place of torment in your place. But then the Father has given me a promise that He is going to release His life into me, because you see, as the Father has life in Himself, He has given for me to have life in myself. Future tense. And so what the Father was telling me is, son, there's coming a time that the life you now have, you will not have, but the life I have in me, I have given for you to have that life in you once again. And so when that moment comes, I'm going to release back into you the life that you released unto me. And when I release that life unto you, it's going to cause you to rise up from the dead. And when you have risen up from the dead, son, that's going to be the way, the door that they can enter into and have the position in the kingdom.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you can be too. What do you mean where you are, Jesus? What do you mean? If you're not talking about heaven, what are you talking about? He was saying that where I am, the position of sonship that I hold with the Father, you're going to be right there with me. There's not going to be any difference. When I've received you unto myself, when I have become the door that you pass through to enter into the kingdom, when that takes place, something's going to happen on the inside of you. There's going to be a change in your entire nature. And when that change takes place, the nature you have is going to be the same nature I have. So the position of sonship that I hold with the Father, you too are going to hold that same position. That where I am, as a son of God, you are going to be there with me. Look at verse 18. He says, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he's talking about after his death. He says, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now look at verse 19. He says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
Yes.
When he says, because I live in this right here, he's not talking about because I'm right now alive on this planet. He's saying, listen, in just a little while, the world's not going to be able to see me anymore, because I'm going to lay down my life for the world. But because the Father is going to cause me to be raised up again from the dead, because I live, I'm resurrected, you also can have this life.
Yes. Hallelujah.
At that day, at that day. What day, Jesus? At the day I've been raised up from the dead. You shall know that I am in my Father. And then, after I'm raised up from the dead, you shall be in me and I in you. Not in a literal physical sense, but spiritually speaking, because we will share the same nature. He, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. What's he talking about? He that hath my commandments. Is he talking about the Beatitudes? What's he talking about here? We'll look down in verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, but the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now here's what he's saying in this. He's saying, look, if you that have my commandments, if you keep my commandments, verse 23, if you keep my words, then what's going to happen? The Father is going to demonstrate His love unto you. The Father will love you. And then what we will do is, we will come unto you and make our abode with Him. What He's saying here, essentially, is the same kind of thing that He said back over in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, where He said, if you hear my words, if you hear my words, then you'll know the truth. If you keep my words, you'll know the truth and the truth. If you continue in my words, You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What words is he talking about? What commandments? The commandment that you must be born again. If you pay attention to what I'm saying unto you, you're going to believe on the Son of God. You're going to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And in doing so, you will continue in the commandments and the words that I've given you. And when that takes place, when that happens, when you trust me and take me at my word and accept me, he says, look at here, in verse 21, he says, he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And he says, and I will manifest myself to him. In other words, the reality of the life that I have as a result of being raised from the dead, that life is going to manifest on the inside of you, and you're going to have the same nature. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. If you love me, you're going to pay attention to what I said, and you're going to keep the words that I told you. You must be born again. You must believe on the Son of God. Believe on the Son of Man. Believe me. And if you do that, my Father is going to pour His love out upon you. And then we, who's we? The Father and I. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come unto you, and we're going to make our abode with you. That word abode, there at the end of verse 23, it's the exact same word back over in verse 2 that's been translated mansions. In other words, dwelling place. He says, listen, if you continue in my words and you accept the fact that I am the Savior and you will receive me as your Savior, then here's what's going to happen. The Father is going to be able to pour His love out into you because by faith you've received me. And when you do that and His love is poured out unto you, then I and the Father are going to come and we're going to take up a dwelling place on the inside of you and give you the very nature we have. Praise God. And then look over in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, now keep in mind what Jesus said in John 14, verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Father, now look at this 24th verse. I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He says, Father, this is my desire. Father, this is what I want. I want them to be the same way that You and I are, Father, to be one by virtue of the very nature that we share. And He says, this is what I want. I want them to be with me where I am. In other words, Father, I want it to be such a thing to where when You look at me, it's not just me that You see, but it's every one of them that accepts me as their Lord and Savior, so that we have the same nature and we share the same life, so that, Father, when they're born again, they're going to hold the same position with You that I hold as Your Son. And you're not going to see a difference, not me up here and them down there, but what you're going to see is all of us seated together, Father, in heavenly places. Now look back over in John chapter 14. Jesus said, had told them, look, fellas, I'm going to prepare a way. I'm the way, but I've got to go get prepared for this. I've got to do the preparation so that through me, you're going to be able to enter into the kingdom and hold the same position in the kingdom that I currently hold. I go to prepare this place. I am the way, the truth, the life, verse 6. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he says in verse 9, have I been with you this long that you still don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And verse 10, He says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Don't you believe what I'm telling you? In other words, don't you believe that I am sharing the same nature with my Father in heaven? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me. Believe my words. Guys, listen to what I'm telling you. Believe what I'm saying when I tell you that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. But if you're not going to believe me because of what I've said, then at least believe me because of the works that you're seeing. In other words, he's saying the works that you're seeing demonstrated through me are a result of me sharing the same nature with the Father. And because I share the same nature with the Father, I now have the ability for the Father to pour out deity power through me to manifest the signs and the wonders and the miracles. So if you're not going to believe that I share the very same nature with the Father because of my words, then believe me at least because of the works that you've seen manifested in your very eyes. If you're not going to believe my words, at least believe the works, that what I'm telling you is true and that I'm going to prepare for you the same kind of position that I hold with the Father. And verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, because I've prepared the same place in the kingdom for you. That's why we can do the works. Because we hold the same place in the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ holds. It's not because He is deity Messiah. It's because He's the Son of Man with the nature of God on the inside, filled with the Holy Spirit, doing the works and the will of the Father. And He said, if you believe in me, if you'll take that step and continue in my words, you then are going to receive the same nature, ushered into the kingdom, holding the same position that I do, so that the Father can pour through you the same power to produce the same works that I did. And that's every single one of you who've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, then he goes on to say, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Not greater works, but greater than everything I've told you to this point. Greater than anything you've ever seen, guys. Greater than opening the blind eyes. Greater than seeing the lame jump up and walk. Greater than seeing leprosy instantly be removed from somebody's body and all of their physical parts restored in a miracle. Greater than even raising the dead. Greater than this. It's something greater than anything that I personally, as Jesus, have ever been able to do. You're going to be able to do something greater than that. Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do, greater than these shall you do. He said the works that I'm doing are the works that the Father would do if He were manifested in the flesh Himself. He said the words that I speak are the words that the Father has given me to speak. In other words, get the image of this. The Father is saying, Son, tell them that because you are coming to prepare a place for them, because you have come unto me, it's going to be possible for them to do something that's greater than anything you have ever done. And they've seen you raise the dead. What's he talking about? Jesus could never get anybody born again, because he hadn't died yet. Jesus could never usher anybody into the kingdom of the Father, the kingdom of God, because the way hadn't been made. He was the way, but the way had not yet been made. I'm the way that's going to be made. I'm the way of preparation. I'm the one that's going to get prepared so that you can come through me. But until I go to that cross, until I shed my blood, until I die, until I get put in the grave, and until I raise back up from the dead, nobody can enter into the kingdom. And so the whole time, guys, that I've been with you, all I've been able to do is demonstrate the will of the Father in the kingdom and preach to you the kingdom. But I have never been able to lead anybody into the kingdom. And believe me, guys, leading someone to accept me as their Lord and Savior so that they can be born again and ushered into the kingdom and have that same position that I have with the Father is far greater than opening blind eyes and deaf ears. You must be born again. Yes, if you never get your vision, if you're born again, you still get to heaven. If you never get your hearing, but you're born again, you still get to heaven. If you never walk again and you're born again, you still get to heaven. The greatest thing you can do is lead somebody to me as their Lord and Savior. He could never do that. But because he went to the Father, now the way has been made. And we can do what Jesus couldn't. We can get somebody born again. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. I want blind eye opening anointing, Jesus. I want deaf ear opening power, Jesus. Oh, Father, pour out your anointing. Pour it out, Father. We want to see signs and wonders and miracles. Father, we want to see the dead raised. Pour out your glory, Father. Pour out your power. And the Father says, yes, all of those things are good, but don't you understand? I want to see people born again. And that's the work. If you're going to believe me for eye-opening anointing, then put that anointing to good use and tell the people who just got their vision who it was that gave it to them. Yes. Me, in you, working through your body the same way I did with my son. The works that he did, you can do them. You can do them. You have the capacity to raise people from the dead. You have the capacity to open the blind eyes. You have the capacity to open the deaf ears, to cast out the demons that are causing mental torment, that are manifesting themselves as some sort of physical sickness. Do you understand? You have the capacity to do these things. Stop wimping out. Do them! But what if it doesn't happen? At least you tried.
Yes.
Look, every demon's nightmare is that a Christian's going to try. Because they don't know for sure what's going to happen when you do try. But if you don't even try, whew. Man, did you see, we almost got cast out back there. Let's go find us a gay bar. Get away from that one. And we can take it beyond that. And not just open the blind eyes and the deaf ears. Do you understand? Jesus was not talking only to apostles and prophets and evangelists. He was talking to he that believeth on me. And in another place, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall. He gives a whole list of things that we can do. We can do all of that and more. We can lead people right into that same position in the kingdom that Jesus has, so that they too can be seated in heavenly places with all the rest of us.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you ready to do some works? Are you ready to do some works? Yes. I'm ready, Pastor. But I'm kind of ticking too. I just don't know about, you know. I just don't know. I just kind of, it's like I want to, but then I back off. Hit him with guerrilla warfare. So what do you mean? Remember when the fellow came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I got somebody at home that's dying. Jesus says, no problem. I'll come and deal with it. The guy said, no. No. Jesus, you don't have to do that. You see, Jesus, I understand all about authority. I say, go, and they go. I say, jump, they ask how high. And I recognize in you, Jesus, you've got authority. Don't even worry about coming over to the house. Just say the word. Just say the word, Jesus. Jesus says, Shazam. Faith. And he said, okay, fine. Healed. From a distance. I call it guerrilla warfare. From a distance. Yeah, it's, you know what? When we get past the point of wanting everybody to know that we're the ones
that laid hands on the blind, oh yes. Bring them unto me. I'll cast my shadow on them.
We get to the point where we don't care who, whose name. We get to the point to where all we want is for Jesus to get the glory. It's going to be a whole lot easier for the eye-opening power to be flowing through us. Because God knows we're not going to go around and
see what I did. Look out, Benny Hinn.
And even Jesus didn't take glory. He acknowledged who he was, but he said, look, I've laid aside all self-reliant deity power to become totally dependent upon the power of the Father to flow through me. So therefore, it's not me by my own power doing this. Oh, I used to have that kind of power before I made that choice to come down here. So now it's not me that's doing it by my own self-reliant deity power. I laid that aside so I could live down here with the rest of you and depend upon the Father to pour that power through me. That's why he said, it's not me, but it's the Father in me doing the works. It's the Father manifesting his power and love and mercy and life through me. That's where the works are coming from. And then he says, you can do the same thing. That's why now we give the glory to Jesus. Because we're joint heirs with Jesus. We're seated in heavenly places with Jesus. He gets the glory. Because we can kind of paraphrase what he said and we can say, hey, look, yeah, I did lay hands on you and yeah, I know you got your sight, but I want you to understand something. It's not me doing the works. It's Christ in me, his power, his deity anointing, his life, his love flowing through me. That's how this happened. Because you see, without him, I do not have the power to do this. It's him, his anointing, flowing through me that's doing this. So now that you got your eyes open, why don't you just go ahead and let him do the same thing for you that he's done for me and change your whole life? You'd have to be really stupid to be the recipient of a miracle and then say no to Jesus. It's happened before. There was a person that got a healing. They had a problem with their arm, got an instantaneous miracle healing. And the moment it happened, they were asked, now don't you want to accept Jesus? And they said, no, and turned and ran. Dumb. How does it make you feel to know that God looks at you as being the equal to Jesus when He was walking on the earth? That's heavy. But that's the way it is. Kind of makes you want to live holy, doesn't it? Go home and clean out the video cabinet. Don't talk about that one, Pastor. Don't talk about that one. Well, go ahead and stand up.